When you go back home today, you all can say, Aham Atma. This is the jnanam today, Aham Atma. And not only Aham Atma, everything is Atma. Therefore, what you have to say? Aham Idam Sarvam. Aham Atma, Sarvam Atma. Therefore, Aham Idam Sarvam. You have to say that. Only then Aham Atma is correct. Aham Idam Sarvam. Aham Atma. I am Atma. Everything is Atma. Sarvam Atma. Therefore, I am everything. Aham Idam Sarvam. Aham means what? Which aham? What is aham here? Awareness. Everything is awareness. When you say aham idam sarvam, I am everything, you mean everything is awareness. Everything is pure awareness, pure consciousness. Nothing ever exists outside of awareness. Everything is always means what? What about is coming and going? Okay, whatever has been there from time immemorial, okay, timelessly, that has been always there. Always has been there. Then what is that was coming and going? That is what we say, manifestation and the manifest becoming unmanifest. So this whatever was unmanifest becomes manifest, and whatever is manifest becomes again unmanifest. Unmanifest becomes manifest. This continuously, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest is called what? Is also eternal. But this eternity is called perennial eternity. Understand? Perennial eternity means what? Hey, it comes manifest, becomes unmanifest, doesn't disappear. Understand? Again becomes manifest. Again becomes unmanifest. This is what we say, perennial eternity. So this what is perennially eternal does not exist outside of that which is absolutely eternal. What is it which is absolutely eternal? Absolutely eternal is pure awareness. Understand now? What is it absolutely eternal? Pure consciousness. The pure awareness. Why do you say pure awareness is absolutely eternal and the existence of the material manifestation is perennially eternal? Why do you call it? Because there is no time awareness becomes unmanifest. Understand? No time awareness is not. No time. Time and space and everything which exists within the realm of time and space becomes manifest in time. Understand now? Time itself manifests in time. Time itself resolves in time. Understand? And the space also manifests in time, resolves in time. And anything which exists within the realm of time and space manifests in time, resolves in time. And resolves where? Manifests where? In awareness. And that awareness is always there. That is why awareness is absolutely eternal. Understand? And this matter which keeps undergoing changes, which also doesn't get, that's why we say that there's no such thing called total destruction. Nothing is destroyed. What is destroyed? Nothing is destroyed. Any destruction is only what? Relative. There's no such thing called absolute total destruction in this universe. When you say this, nothing is destroyed totally, absolutely, means what? What do we mean by this? Whatever destruction is happening, how should we look at it? It's only relative destruction. What is relative destruction? It's only a change. of the form and the name. Form changes, name also has to change. Form changes, name also changes. This change of form, thereby the change of name, is what? The change is relative destruction, not absolute destruction. This is what now? One, you know, everything continues to exist in some form or the other. And similarly, there's one time complete, totally everything becomes unmanifest, which you can't even imagine how it is. And again, it is manifest. That means it's also what? Beginningless, endless. Anything beginningless, endless is eternal. But because there is some time which, okay, there's a state of being unmanifest, again becoming manifest, we call perennially eternal. But that which never, never disappears, that in which this manifestation and unmanifest, manifest things becoming unmanifest happens, that pure awareness is absolutely eternal. Completely timeless. Time flows in awareness. Time flows in awareness. That is why timelessness, we say, is the nature of the reality. Nature of the reality means what? Consciousness is pure awareness, pure consciousness is the timeless reality. And you cannot say, this is the first verse which I'm not going to go the second verse today. The first verse itself, it makes it very clear. Without doing any action, just by its presence, it becomes nimittam for the existence of everything. Existence of everything, it becomes nimittam. Just as the sun becomes nimittam for the activation of the universe. Loka cheshta. Cheshta means activity. Loka cheshta nimittam. Now, sun becomes, just without doing anything, without doing any action or anything, by mere presence, sun becomes nimittam for the loka cheshta, for the activation of the universe. Because the whole jagat being, jagat is means what? All the functions happen. Everything functions in the universe. Then what is loka cheshta? So loka cheshta nimittam yatha ravihi. Kimapi akurvan api, without doing anything. Kimapi akurvan. Kimapi na karayan, we come across in Bhagavad Gita, naiva kurvanna karayan. Without doing anything, without making somebody else do something. Does not do, nor does make someone else do something. Naiva kurvanna na karayan, without doing, without making something else or somebody else acting, understand? Without making other person do something also. That is why. Na kurvanna, na karayanna, sannidhi matrena, just by its presence, how, just as sun activates the whole universe. Without activating, without doing any action, without making the universe activated also, just by its presence, sun becomes nimittam for the activation of the universe. Jagat, similarly, Atma, as pure awareness, the pure consciousness, without doing anything, just by its presence, it becomes nimittam for the activation of the mind, the senses, the powers of organs of action, powers of sense organs, and pranas, and everything is external to the body, everything. And that is what Nitya Upalabdhiswarupaha is Atma. Okay? So, and I told you one thing, you have to remember, last point what I said was, we have to remember this knowledge. Knowledge of anything is vritti jnanam. When I say vrittihi means a thought form. And then vritti jnanam means what? Knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is called vritti jnanam. And here we say Swarupa Jnana means reality, which understood in terms of its Swarupam as pure knowledge. What is reality? Pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure consciousness. How does pure knowledge look? We want to know. How does it look? Okay. We want to know something. How does it look? This is how it looks. How it looks? Discover the discoverer. Understand? And how the discoverer is? Discoverer is pure knowledge. Understand? So knowing is the Swarupam. What is that which is available for your recognition? Okay. What is it's available for your recognition as pure knowledge? Okay. As that which is of the nature of knowing is pure knowledge. What is that which is available for a recognition as that which is of the nature of knowing is pure knowledge, is pure awareness, is pure consciousness. That is how it is. Understand? Okay, so that's why we call Swarupa Jnanam. Swarupa Jnanam. That is why we say Jnanam Brahma. Understand? Jnanam Brahma. Always had to start with Jnanam Brahma. Then we have to go to Sat and Ananda. Sat and Chit is another word for Jnanam. We have said Satchidananda, we have said Satchidanandam Brahma, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. You have to always start with Chid Brahma. Jnanam Brahma. Then we can see other two words. Sat and Ananda. It's easy to understand. You can't start with Ananda. You can't start with Sat. Start with Chit. Why? Because you have, what is it which is the Sat of everything? Existence of everything. How will you understand that? No? Oh, reality is the existence of everything. What is it, reality? Oh, this is pure existence. How does the pure existence look? We know the existence, we understand the existence of many things here. We understand the existence of many things here. When you say existence of rose. You understand the existence in terms of existence of so many things. The existence of rose, existence of light, existence of day, existence of night, existence of birth, existence of time, existence of space. Existence is always understood with something. Do you ever understand existence as pure existence? We use this word existence, the noun. Our dictionaries have. We do talk about the word existence. Have you ever thought, do we know, what do we mean by the word pure existence? What is pure existence? Without any object, if you say pure existence. And you say rose is existence of rose. There is an existence of the rose. Light is, there is an existence of light. Sun is, there is an existence of sun. Time is, there is an existence of time. Tree is, there is an existence of tree. Existence of something. Always you have to, and you understand existence, no? With reference to the existence of something, not as a pure existence. That is why, what is that which is pure existence? Understand? The pure existence is pure knowledge. Pure existence is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness. So how will you understand pure, if pure existence is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, how will you understand? in terms of its swarupam. How? By knowing the knower. Where knowledge takes place. Where does knowledge take place? The mind. How? By objectifying everything as object of knowledge, and you go, okay, negate all the objects of knowledge and discover the knower and find out this knower. You arrive at. Understand? We say sat is chit and chit is sat. We'll come back and see tomorrow. Understand? But before that, if you have any questions, you can ask me. If you don't have any questions, also write and bring it tomorrow. Because people feel I keep on talking and then I'm not allowing people to talk.
Could you say something more, Swami, about, you said earlier, consciousness is not the knower. Is that right?
Yes,
consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is consciousness.
Yes. Yeah.
Just to clarify this.
Yeah. See, there is, it's a very, very old example. Any teacher gives example. There is a drama. There's a play enacted on a stage. And one person, okay, comes as a king. He acts. You know, and the other person who comes and acts as a beggar. And suppose there the beggar comes and cries and all that. And the beggar has a long role to play. Okay? And has the king comes for a few seconds and goes. The person who acts as a king. He gets very little money. But the person who plays the role of a beggar has to play, he has long, you know, script is very big, so he has more time to do something there on the stage, and he's paid more. And he has to cry and do everything on the stage. But inside he's very happy. Why? Because he knows, oh my God, when everybody looks at the way the beggar cries, the people also cry along with him. But he, you know, people are emotionally blackmailed, so they cry. And where the beggar cries so beautifully, inside laughing, my God, I have done my wonderful job. Okay? He sees people clapping all over, the way he acts and seeing all that. This playing the role of a beggar really made him rich. That means, The actor who plays the role of the beggar is not really a beggar. Okay? The actor who plays the role of a beggar is not really a beggar, very rich man. We made a lot of money by acting. He's not the real beggar. But actor is not the beggar. But the one who played the role of a beggar is nothing, none other than this rich actor. The one who played the role of a beggar is actor. We say B is A. Beggar is actor. The A is not B. The actor is not really a beggar. I'll tell you one more thing. When somebody, suppose when we say eater, runner, walker, there, that ER added to a given verb makes that verb an adjective. No? A doer of a given action. A doer of a given action becomes a, suppose the one who does the act of walking is the walker. The one who does the act of running is the runner. The one who does the act of eating is the eater. What is it which makes one an eater, a beggar, a runner? When you say Rama is eating, so eater is Rama. Rama is eating, so eater is Rama. Krishna is, you know, jump, you know, that was running. The runner is Krishna. Like that we say this. That means what? There the runner is Rama, eater is Krishna. When you say there the eater, the runner, they do the act of eating and running, etc. They do the action. Similarly, when you say sun illumines everything. Sun is illuminating the whole universe. Look at this. Like Rama is eating. Eater is, therefore eater is Rama. We can say that. Rama is the eater. Okay, Rama is an eater, we can say. When you say sun is illuminating the whole universe, therefore sun is the illuminator. But there, eating is an action done by Rama. Whereas illumination is not an action on the part of the sun. Illumination is not an action. Does sun, or not even sun, just like the light as such, does the light do the act of illuminating? Illuminating, is it an action? Bringing opaque objects to light, is it an action? It's an action. No. Just think, it's not an action. Illuminating opaque objects, bringing the opaque objects to light, is it an action? It's an action. No. It is not an action. If it is not an action, what is it then? Swarupam. Swarupam means what? That is how the light is. How the light is. The light is, how the light looks, how the light is, if the light is, that is how the light is, that in its presence everything comes to light. Everything comes to light. It is not an action. For illuminating is not an action. It is the swarupam. Can you stop the sun from illumining things? Or can you stop the light from illumining objects? No. Can the light do anything about it? Can the light itself stop itself from illumining? The light itself cannot do anything about it. Why? Intrinsic. What do we mean intrinsic? Swarupam. That is how the light is. Understand? Therefore, illuminating or illumining is not an action, but the very swarupam of the light. If it is an action on the part of the light, then we can say light is illuminating everything. Okay? Light is illuminating everything, therefore sun is the illuminator of everything. But illuminating happens to be the very swarupam, not an action. We say sun is not the illuminator, but there's nothing else which illumines everything. Therefore, the illuminator of everything is the sun. Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
Similarly, here, who is the, when you say here, consciousness, no, consciousness is the knower. We cannot say. Why? Because knowing is not an action on the part of consciousness. Consciousness does not do the act of knowing. I don't want to use the word consciousness. Okay, now reality. Okay, reality does not do the act of knowing. How the reality look? How does it look? How it is? This is how the reality is. The reality, how you will understand in terms of its swarupam. What is its swarupam? How it is? How do you understand it? No? It is of the swarupa of knowing, it is of the nature of knowing. Knowing is the swarupam, not an action. How do you know then? See, because consciousness, the reality is, the states of mind, become known. Whatever is the state of the mind, that is known. Like light is now, if I move my hand, movement of my hand is known. If I don't move, non-movement of the hand also is, nothing is there also is known. That is the light. Light doesn't need to do anything. Oh, mind is very active, so many thoughts come, mind is known. Mind becomes illumined. Mind becomes known. Mind becomes object of knowledge. Mind is known. Mind being there is known. If mind being there is not known, mind will be what? Because mind does not have the capacity to reveal its own presence, reveal itself, because mind is inert by itself. Mind is evident to something. Okay, the existence of mind here, mind is active, or mind is passive, or there is a dream. Dream state of mind is known, or waking state of mind is known, deep sleep state of the mind is known. That means what is that? What is that because of the presence of which the mind, the different states of mind are known.
And the knowing is constant, isn't it?
Yeah, what is it because of which the states of known? We say that is what is that because of the presence of which different states of mind are known, different states of mind become known, that is what is the reality. So what is the knower of that? Can we say reality is the knower of the mind? We have to say reality is the knower of the mind. But we do not say reality is the knower of the mind. Why? Because reality does not do the act of knowing. Reality is, in the presence of reality, mind becomes known. Any state of mind becomes known. Therefore, what is it the knower now? We say, because there's nothing other than the reality, because of which mind becomes known. Therefore, the knower of the mind is what? The reality. What is it which is the knower of the mind? So what is its swarupam then? Knowing. Understand? How reality is? Reality is. No? That's why reality has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. Understand? Reality has to be... Please remember this sentence. Reality is to be understood in terms of its swarupam as knowing. Understand? Knowing. That is why we say knowing is the swarupam. Therefore we say what knower of the mind is the reality, which is pure consciousness, the pure awareness. Or we can say pure knowledge. Knower is consciousness. But consciousness is not the knower, because knowing is not an action. It is very swarupam. And when you say knower is consciousness, when you say, you have resolved the knower in consciousness. You just say, all that is there is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Resolving means what? Understanding. There is no knower other than, Is it a given person? No. That is why you can't put ear there. It is resolved. The knower in every mind is what? Consciousness. Understand? That is why pure knowledge. See, this is chit. Chit, the meaning of the word chit has to become very, very clear. I need not teach anything new, okay? This itself I can teach for another few more years. In different ways. And you will see how clearer it is. How clearer it becomes. How the clarity enhances. You will see that. If the only clarity enhances, you will also love to come and sit in the class. Otherwise you will feel bored. You will not come again. If the clarity doesn't enhance also, you will feel bored. Okay? And that means what? Something, it is, you are not, if you are going to learn something new, different also, you don't need to come. There's no teaching. Nothing new is taught. Okay? Satchit Anandam Brahma. Okay, one sentence. You will be understanding every Vedanta class. How many, what is that big thing to understand? Only one sentence you're understanding. Okay? Only one sentence. All the time you come and sit for, is 1 week camp or 10 days course, 3 years course, a lifelong program, Vedanta program, means what? One sentence has to become understood. That is why chit has to be understood well first. That is enough. Sat and Ananda will become clear. If chit is not understood, Sat and Ananda will never understand. Never understand. Only simply you can sing bhajan. Chit has to be understood.
Once chit is understood, is that a process that comes and goes, or is it permanent?
What is it comes and goes?
The understanding.
No. See, understanding, once it happens, it should not go. Okay? That only if it doesn't go, there is understanding. If it goes, means there is no understanding at all. There is some understanding of something else happened, understanding of something else has might have gone. But understanding of chit, either it is understood or it is not understood. Understood means it doesn't go. But understanding can become ascertained. Ascertained means what? Because that's what I'm saying, resolving. Now, seeing like how very clearly understand every wave is nothing but H2O is so clear for you. Similarly, every your own thought, the knower is none other than awareness. Now the known thought is not outside of awareness. That understanding, repeated listening, you should become clear. The vision should become clear. Is what is ascertainment. But really speaking, understanding doesn't go. See, you've been attending these classes. Suppose you've been attending these classes for quite some time. Can you say, I've been attending this class for so many days, so many classes I've been attending. Can you deny that you have not understood anything at all? Can you say that? You can't say. Can you say that? Definitely, at least the subject-object analysis has done something. No, because we never thought of objectifying things this way. We all studied grammar when you study a sentence, subject, object, complement, now we have the adverb and then adjective, we have read what is a predicate, we have learned in English grammar, language grammar class. But there, our understanding of the word object is what? Very limited. You wouldn't have thought of objectifying anything. Other than, in the external to the body, you can objectify. You wouldn't have thought of objectifying your own body. Anything external to the body, you know it's an object of knowledge. That much you know. I am a seer, the light is seen, okay, I am a subject, light is an object of knowledge. I see the light. That's that much you know. But you cannot imagine objectifying your own physical body, which is the first big click. So physical body is an object of knowledge. Even though you know this, always you say my head and my stomach, my back is aching, even though you say that. But still you don't think it's an object of knowledge. You never think. Even though in Vyavahara, in day-to-day transaction, you talk about, use this word, my hand, my leg, my foot. You may say that, but still, there's never thought of objectifying it. Now, see, these classes help you. But this is also an object. Not only this, at least body somehow, it's very gross. And coming to subtle aspects, imagine what about the, even the sense, you can't distinguish. really you can't really separate and understand the Golakam and Indriyam. Which other science teaches you this? In a Golakam and the subtle power and the physical part, the Golakam and Indriyam. In English language, it means sense organ. What do you mean, say, sense organ? Do you mean the subtle power? You mean the whole thing. I mean, which is only, is a physical part also. And here we distinguish the sense power. Okay, we differentiate it. And we say, so all, every subtle power also is objectified. You object, you're made to see how every sense power is an object of knowledge. This is again, this makes the mind subtle. This is how the mind becomes subtle. Subtle teaching, actually speaking. And your hearing power, because you have to understand the very meaning of the word subtle first. We have our own very, very limited sense of the word subtle. What is very subtle? And here we say, oh, imperceptible is subtle. That means, oh, hearing power, you don't perceive, but you can understand the hearing power being manifest. The power of smelling, my God, you don't perceive it. But you can understand the power being manifest. Very subtle, isn't it? So this is a big lesson. This is how mind is made subtle. Oh, they're all objects. You objectify all of them. And similarly, the powers of organs of actions. For organs of actions means for us, no, all activity, it means of the vigorous activity and all that running around. So very gross in our understanding. But you see, oh, the power in these hands, the power in legs, the power in, you know, organ of speech, all these powers being manifest is understood. Then you objective, oh, it is known. Therefore, they are all objects of knowledge. Of course, physiological functions. Now, even though you don't see, my God, every function you objectify. Because it is known. Anything known to you as an object means you know that. It is known to you, so you have every physiological function is very subtle and it's also object of knowledge. And not only this, even the knowledge, your own thought, mind. And the beauty is, I tell you, Taittiriya Upanishad, no? That is the whole antahkaranam. No, the whole antahkaranam is what? The entire mind is full of various thought forms. No, variety thought modifications. And how does it say? Every thought is an object of knowledge. Every thought is an object of knowledge. And you have to really know, if every thought is an object of knowledge, and what is that, where this mind begins and where it ends? Where it begins, where it ends? How can it know? Which is the first thought? Which is that? No? So you have some understanding you need to have. That is why we say, everything is evident. Every thought is evident. There must be some evidence. For an evident thing to be evident, there must be evidence. There must be evidence, no? Light is means there is evidence. No, seeing power is the evidence. Like that, thought is, every thought form is subtle. You know. Anger is evident to you. Desire is evident to you. Jealousy is evident to you. Mental agony is evident to you. Evident means there is evidence. What is it, evidence? Understand? And then we say, oh, what is it which is evident? What is the evidence? Therefore, evidence is different from the evident. Isn't it? So you are made to see that. You are made to see everything. And there again, suppose am, this knowledge, the knowledge that am is not there. Nothing can be there. Nothing can be evident. That is why we say that thought, this way we say ankara. No, the knowledge that I am itself must be there. Only then you can say, I am tall, I am fat, I am intelligent, I'm hungry, I'm angry. All these things you can say. When can you say? I am must be there to add any adjective to that. I'm hungry. So I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm pleased. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Then I'm fat. I'm tall. I'm dark. You know, I'm dull. I'm intelligent. I'm clever. To say anything, add anything, what should be there first? I am must be there. Understand? It's like, what is that? That's also thought. Because there's a time when the thought is not there. There's a time when the thought is not there. That means what? That thought also is an object of knowledge, my God. So how we are made to see, look at this. No, you understand subject and object. But you don't really see this, you don't come this far to objectify things. You don't come this far to objectify things. In a gross level, your understanding of the object means, object. Understanding of the word object is one very external to the body, anything external to the body. And this is where you say, oh, everything is object means what is that which is an evidence? Oh, mind is active, mind is passive, there is a dream, there is no dream. No, no thought is there, there is no thought which arises. There are so many thoughts, there is a resting mind, there is agitated mind. This is all evident. But what is it which is evidence? What is the evidence? It is evident means there must be evidence. And what is it which is, what is that evidence? Providence, okay? What is that evidence? Understand? And that is how the evidence is, we say, we have to say the knower. Knower is the evidence. In fact, we say, oh, knowing, that's why we say swarupam, not even, we say the knower also resolve it. There is evidence. The evidence is Atma, the self. I don't want to say I, you and all that, okay? Evidence is the reality. Evidence is the reality. In fact, the reality is there as the evidence. What is there as the evidence is the reality. And that being an status of being an evidence, okay, because the reality enjoys the status of being an evidence, we say it is what? You know, the reality, the truth. Okay, and what is the evidence for the evidence being there? Tell me. What is the evidence?
Existence.
No other evidence. Understand? Evidence is the evidence. That is why we say self-evident.
I can see all this intellectually. Mm. When does it become hard to me?
No.
Definitely.
It is, there's no intellectually. When you're understanding, you are. In the class, when you're listening to me, when you're seeing what I'm saying, you are that. It is not intellectual. Again, there's some vagueness about it. You think, what you're understanding, you think is intellectual. Understanding itself, understand. There's no non-intellectual understanding or experiential understanding. Not like that. When you're listening, what it is, you are with that. You are with that. What happens, this is after the class, if the attention is not here, you think it is intellectual, something has to be done again. Really speaking, people always think of something, it's only intellectual, you know, accumulation of information. Really speaking, this is not experiential, there's no such thing. See, as your understanding, where are you? What is that which is seen as an evidence? Okay, what is it which is seen, which is understood as an evidence? That is, people talk about the theoretical knowledge. There is no such thing called theory or anything. Because theory is possible only anything which is within the realm of world of objects. With reference to this awareness and subject, okay, there is no such thing called theory. Only understanding. Okay? Please understand the word theoretical. People talk about this. theory and experience, experimental. That's not here. With reference to anything which falls within the realm of the world of objects, we can talk about it. There's a theory, then you experiment it, you experience, you know that. That's a different thing. But here, there's no such thing called when your understanding is direct. It is direct, it's akshat. Understand? If I don't make you see, the limitation is on my, which is my problem with my teaching. That is why we say there's no such thing. You see it. Every class you should see. That is why, according to Vedanta Shastra teaching means giving vision. The teacher is the one who makes the student see what the teacher is seeing. As one is seeing, the teacher should make other person see. That is what is giving vision is seeing, teaching. That's why there's no theory part. There's no such thing called... because again, it's our thinking. Why? Because after the class it goes. That is why we say, this what has been understood should be constantly dwelt upon for ascertainment. When it ascertained, then this set of doubt will not be there. You're right. You feel as though it goes. No? So understanding never goes. Understanding always there. But understanding, clarity enhances. Repeated listening enhances your clarity and it becomes ascertained. And which implies contemplation. Understand? That is why Swarupam, that is why reality of the Jagat is the subtlest vastu. Subtlest is substance. That is why it has to be understood in terms of its Swarupam. Even the object light you need to understand in terms of its Swarupam. What to talk of the reality? Understand? In terms of its Swarupam, how it is, you know, it is available only, you know, for recognition. That's why Shastram tells the secret. Yo Veda Nihitam, Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam. The one who knows this reality hidden in the cave of Buddhi. Okay? It's a Guhayam Nihitam. It is kept hidden in Guha. Where will it go? Because everything is Atma. Everything is Atma, but you don't know the Swarupam. It's a reality subtlest. The subtlest first has to be understood in terms of its Swarupam. So where is it available? Where is the Swarupam of the reality is available for recognition? That is why we say it has to be understood as a subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. Shastra, therefore, you have to distinguish the subject of knowledge here. You don't even know, you don't have the distinguished, okay, you don't have that knowledge of the knower and known. Therefore, you have to know that. And therefore, go in search of the knower, discover the discoverer, know the knower. If we know who the knower is, then you have understood reality in terms of its Swarupam, then resolve the knower in reality. The pure knowledge. Okay? Do I make sense? I mean, do I have made clear?
Yes.
I know I make sense. But I'm asking you. There's no doubt about what I'm saying. I'm very clear. Only thing, if I didn't make you see, means there's some limitation in the communication. That's what I can say. And there's some obstacle in your minds also. Both it can be. Okay? Pratibandha. That is why we say, that is why so many prayers. Why do you think? The Pratibandha comes and sits, the obstacle comes and sits. Sometimes it refuses. And then it's also too long a session. Very serious, really speaking. I didn't mind because I was not only talk about this. Because it's been a very long thing. Even though we've been doing so many Upanishads and afterwards in between, we have it also. And it has become very clear. Now, why the Prakriya? Okay, so the Pramanam part of it I said. and how pramanam prapratti. I will come back and see tomorrow. It's okay? It's time now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harih Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om.